नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम सिक्स्थ कैंटो चैप्टर नाइन टेक्स्ट 31। श्री देवा उचुहु नमस्ते यज्ञवीर्याय वयसे उतते नमः। नमस्ते ह्यस्तचक्राय नमः सुपुरुहूतये। श्रीदेवा। The demigods said, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, you are competent to give the results of sacrifice, and you are also the time factor that destroys all such results in due course. You are the one who releases the chakra to kill the demons. O Lord, who possess many varieties of names, we offer our respectful obeisances unto you. Yate gatinam tishrinam ishitu paramam padam narvachino visargasya dhatar veditum arhati. Yat, O Supreme Controller, you control the three destinations: promotion to the heavenly planets, birth as a human being, and condemnation in hell. Yet your supreme abode is Vaikuntha Dham. Since we appeared after you created this cosmic manifestation, your activities are impossible for us to understand. We therefore have nothing to offer you but our humble obeisances. Purport. An inexperienced man generally does not know what to beg from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everyone is under the jurisdiction of the created material world, and no one knows what benediction to ask when praying to the Supreme Lord. People generally pray to be protected, to be promoted to the heavenly planets, because they have no information of Vaikuntha Loka. Srila Madhvacharya quotes the following verse: Deva Lokat Pitri Lokat Nirayatcha Piyatparam Tisribhya Paramam Sthanam Vaishnavam Vidusham Gatihi. There are different planetary systems known as Devaloka, the planets of the demigods, Pitraloka, the planet of the Pittas, and Nirya, the hellish planets. When one transcends these various planetary systems and enters Vaikuntha Loka, he achieves the ultimate resort of the Vaishnavas. Vaishnavas have nothing to do with the other planetary systems. Deva Uchu Yate Gatinam Tisrinam Ishitu Paramam Padam Nirvachino Visargasya Dhatar Veditum Arhati. As we were discussing yesterday, the demigods always look toward the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam Sada Pashyanti Suraya. They're the ones who offer obeisances to the Lord voluntarily. Srila Prabhupada points out that everyone offers obeisances to the Lord, but some do so involuntarily. Krishna comes as death, mrityu, sarvaharas, chaham, and then you stretch out offering your obeisances by force. But the devotees, Vishnu Bhakta Smrita Daiva, the demigods, always offer their obeisances to the Lord. They always offer service to the Lord. And asuras tad viparyaya, the demons are against the devotional service of the Lord. So here the demigods, they're all devotees. Maybe they're not perfect devotees, but they're devotees. So they offer their obeisances to the Lord again and again. Namaste. Yajna-viryaya, the person who provides the results of sacrifices, the power of sacrifices coming from the Lord, and he provides the sacrificial results. And very interesting, Vayase Utate Namaha. He acts as the time factor, wears everything down, and takes away the results also. The demigods, by dint of their pious activities, have attained the heavenly planets, but by the influence of time, their punya is diminishing. And punya kshine martyalokam vishanti. When their punya is finished, then they come back down to the earth again. So the demigods are conscious of this, that the results of sacrifice come from the Lord, and they're also taken away by the Lord. Those who are seeking some material benefit are therefore considered less intelligent, because they approach the right person, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but for an insignificant thing, like promotion to the heavenly planets, or getting a good wife, or getting good health, or good results for their children on their examinations, or whatever it might be. Dhruva Maharaj compares this to approaching a wealthy man and begging him, "Sir, could I have a palm full of rice?" Suppose you approach some big industrialist. Finally, you get to his office after going through so many secretaries. "All right, what do you want?" "Sir, could I have a handful of rice?" It's not smart. He can give you so much. "Sir, build a new temple for our deities. Sir, do some big thing." "No, handful of rice." Which will be finished, you know. One meal and it's not even that much. And it will be over. So the demigods recognize that we perform sacrifices to get some material result. We worship the right person, but we pray for something which will be finished after some time. People are going to the church, the mosque, the mandir, and they're praying for something which will be lost. The only thing that won't be lost is the devotional service of the Lord and the association of the Lord in the spiritual world. If one aims for that, it will never be lost. Otherwise, everything in the material world will be finished. Namaste Hyasta Chakraya. The Lord is equal to everyone. We discussed that, I think, yesterday. Samoham Sarvabhuteshu. So for the devotees, he throws garlands, or he throws Mahaprasadam, he throws his mercy in so many ways. And for the demons also, he throws his mercy in the form of the chakra. That's also the Lord's mercy. The Lord has four hands holding Shankachakra, Gada Padma. So all of them are merciful. By his mercy, the Lord blesses the devotees with the Shankha and the Padma. And also by his mercy, the Lord Vinashaya Chaduskritam smashes the demons with the Gada and the Chakra. So he equally blesses everyone, the devotees, by bestowing upon them all sorts of transcendental benedictions, and the demons by bestowing upon them some other kind of transcendental benediction. It's the Lord's mercy in any case, according to the way one approaches the Lord. Yeyatamam prapadyante tamstataiva bhajamyam. The demons approach to fight with the Lord, so the Lord reciprocates. And the devotees approach to offer their obeisances, the Lord reciprocates with them also. Namaste namasu puru hutaye nam nam bhala nam nam kori bahuda nirjasarva shakti. The Lord has unlimited names, varieties of transcendental names, and all of these names share the same transcendental potency. Nijasarva Shakti, Charapita Niyamata Smarane Mikala. And there are no hard and fast rules, no particular time and place. This is significant because in the Vedic tradition, if you want to do a yajna, it has to be in the right place. You have to purify everything. The place has to be carefully chosen. You have to build all these altars and do the things in the right prescribed way. Then you have to choose the auspicious time, the auspicious day, the auspicious muhurta. Everything has to be done according to the rules and regulations. You have to have the qualified priests coming from the right families, this priest to do this, this priest to do that. You have to have so many rituals performed. Then, if everything is done right, your sacrifice will be successful. But for chanting Hare Krishna, there are no such things. No hard and fast rules, no particular place, no particular time. Anyone, anywhere can chant the holy name of the Lord. So the Lord is very accessible in his holy name. Etadrishi tavakripa bhagavan mamapi durdaiva midrishami hajini nanaraga. Therefore, if someone is not attracted to the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, that's his misfortune. The devotees, therefore, try to make the unfortunate fortunate by interesting them, by engaging them in relationship to the holy name of the Lord. Even after joining the Krishna consciousness movement, one still has to deal with the affliction of not being attracted to the holy name of the Lord. We're attracted to so many other things. This is the nature of conditioned life. Some beautiful woman walks by, we're spontaneously attracted. It's not that we don't have spontaneous attraction. We do, but to the wrong thing. If I see a newspaper in the corner, my eyes at once go to see what are the headlines. I'm at once attracted. If I'm reading the newspaper and someone asks me a question, no, can't you see I'm reading the newspaper? I become absorbed also. I become absorbed in... and then later I meditate about what I've read. Shiv Sen is doing this, and BJP is doing that. I think about it again and again. Samsmritya. But durdaiva midrashami hajani nanaraga. Unfortunately, being covered by the influence of conditioned life, if I chant the holy name of the Lord, then it's discipline, it's struggle, it's distraction, it's how many rounds are done, how many left to go. So many things. But the spontaneous attraction is not there. But by practice, we can hope to come to the next stage in which there's actually a taste for chanting the holy name of the Lord. And one is actually spontaneously attracted to chanting the holy name. Then one can really relish the nectar of chanting Hare Krishna. Of course, even a beginner, he'll get some taste. But when we chant offenselessly with attention, then we'll get the real benefit of chanting the holy name of the Lord. And there are so many holy names of the Lord, because the Lord is named according to his qualities, his activities, his associates. So innumerable names, not only one name or two names. Sahasra, for a start, Vishnu Sahasranam, but there are thousands and thousands, unlimited holy names of the Lord. Yate gati nam tishri nam ishitu paramam padam. The Lord is the controller of gati nam tishri nam, the three destinations. Anishtam ishtam mishram cha. In the Bhagavad Gita, there are three different kinds of results of performing material activities: good, bad, and mixed. Urdvam gacchanti sattvastha madhye tishtanti rajasa shaganya gunavritista dho gacchanti tamasa. If we cultivate the mode of goodness, we can be promoted to the higher realms. If we cultivate passion, we stay in this earth planetary system. And if we become polluted by the lower modes of nature, then adhogacchanti tamasa. All of these destinations are controlled by the Lord, but his personal abode is paramam padam, Vaikuntha loka. That's the home department. The other three realms are controlled by the foreign office. Tritiya shakti rishyate. The Lord has so many energies. So the material world is controlled by his external energy, Ministry of External Affairs. Maya. Ichchan rupamapi yasya chajestatesa. Shrishti stati pralaya sadhana shaktireka. Chayeva yasya bhuvanani vivarti durga. So indirectly, the Lord controls the material world, but directly, he's controlling Vaikuntha Tham, his own paramam padam, his own personal residence. Narvachino visargasya dhata veditam arhati. The demigod said, it's very hard to understand you because we showed up after you created everything. Because the scientists, they can't understand the source of creation because they weren't there to see it. Their method is observation. But who can observe the beginning of the universe? All they can do is speculate, take data from that they collect now and work back from that and say, well, it must have been this or it must have been that or it could have been this or it could have been that. Maybe it was this or maybe it was that. But they don't know because they weren't around to see it. Even when they are around to see something, they don't always understand it, but at least they have a good shot at it. But the creation or the beginning of the universe, they weren't around for. So it's a puzzle for them. It's hard for them to understand. They have so many different ideas about it. Even the demigods confess that they have a hard time understanding how things began, how things got started. It's a great mystery. It's a great mystery. That's mentioned also in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 10th chapter. What was that? Where is that? Okay. The Manus and everyone is born from the Lord's mind, Manasa Jata. Where is that? 7. Okay, come on. Expect me to know everything? Right. Chatvaro manavastata. Now, where is it? Oh, there it is. I was right. It was the 10th chapter. I was looking at it, and it... Okay. Maharshaya saptupurve chatvaro manavastata madbhava manasa jata yesham loka ima prajaha. The Maharshis, the seven rishis, the four Kumaras and the Manus, they're all born from me. So they have a hard time understanding what came before because they weren't there. Just like if you want to understand something about the birth of your great-great-grandfather or something like that, you know, it's old history from a long time ago. You don't exactly know what happened. So this is mentioned in prayers by the personified Vedas, I think, that the even the demigods, Muyanti Yatsurayaha, are bewildered about this topic because it all happened before they came. So it can only be understood by a descending process, not by investigation or observation, but by receiving the knowledge descending from those who were there. Really, finally, descending from Krishna himself. Tene brahma hridaya adi kevaye. He is the one who instructed Lord Brahma from within the heart. So it's from the Lord himself that we get real understanding, not by mundane research work, not by speculation, but by hearing. And then we can understand something, the origin of the universe, the mystery of the origin of the universe. It will not be understood materially. It has to be understood from the authorities like Sukadeva Goswami. Then we'll understand to some extent. All right, some questions? Mike.
Maharaj, you mentioned that there are no hard and fast rules for chanting the holy names, and it seems like a very general instruction. But then Prabhupada gave us so many rules for chanting the holy names, especially at Mangala Arati, is the morning melody. And we cannot, even though there are hundreds and millions of holy names, we cannot make up our own mantras and concoct things and put them together. So how can there be both things simultaneous? There's no hard and fast rules.
And those are soft and slow rules.
Soft and slow?
Yeah, they're not hard and fast. When you look at the rules for performing Vedic sacrifices, it's really serious business. You know, there's so many, because it's more or less a mechanical procedure. It's like, it's a mechanical sort of procedure. It depends upon having everything right, like launching a rocket, you know, everything, the right time, the right place, the right weather, the right trajectory, the right amount of propulsion, the right guidance from the ground control, you know, all of that stuff has to be exactly right. Then it's a success, the rocket goes. Otherwise, if one of the pieces is loose, or they're 2 minutes too late, or a bird flies by, or, you know, whatever it is, then the whole thing, you know, millions of dollars just goes up in smoke. So Vedic sacrifices are like that. They're very precise, actually. To perform a Vedic sacrifice, you have to have qualified Brahmins, you have to have this, you have to have that, the right paraphernalia. The paraphernalia has to be pure, it has to be, mantras have to be chanted in the proper way. Exactly the right time. And chanting Hare Krishna, we're just asked to avoid 10 offenses. We're asked to chant the mantra received from the guru rather than make up our own mantras. The rules are not very, hardly any rules, just a few. Main rule is to chant the mantra received from the parampara system and to try to hear ourselves chant sincerely. That's the main thing. And some number is there, 16 rounds a day. Small number. That's not very hard. Otherwise, even a person who doesn't follow all the rules will get some benefit. Suppose he's not yet initiated, he's not yet chanting 16 rounds, he's chanting 2 rounds, 1 round, still he'll get benefit. He doesn't get up for Mangal Arti, but he chants on the way to work, or he does something, still he'll get benefit. Vedic sacrifice, you don't do it right, it's all spoiled. It's all spoiled, forget it. But chanting of Hare Krishna, even if done imperfectly, will give some hopeful result. And then he can gradually come to the stage of doing it in the regular way and so on. We see that practically. We go out and chant. And anyone, even a jamil, and that's mentioned in Bhagavatam, even if you chant jokingly, even if you chant to indicate something else, a jamil was chanting not to call the Lord, but to call his son. No matter how, somehow or other, if someone chants the holy name of the Lord, it will be effective. Such a great thing.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble presences. Maharaj, you mentioned about attentive chanting, like you should feel like chanting. So the my
we may feel like chanting or not feel like chanting, but we should chant.
So Maharaj, problem is like when we start chanting at the first round, you say yes, I want to chant very attentively today. But as the time passes over a period of 1.5 hours, so gradually that intensity goes on.
That's what?
That intensity for chanting goes on reducing. So can you please guide for this?
So then we try to renew it. Krishna says, Yato yato nischalati manas chanchalamastiram tatastato niyamyaita atmanyeva vishamnaye. Wherever the mind wanders, we should try to bring it back. So we see that I started out strong and now I'm drifting. So now I have to bring it back. Just like if you're working, so you're reading a report or something like that, and you see that your attention is drifting, so then you bring it back. No, I have to get serious. Or you're working or studying. You start off, I'm going to really get serious about this, and then after half an hour or so, you're thinking about something, cricket match. So then you have to bring your mind back. No, same thing. Yes.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Maharaj, while preaching, we see that our Krishna conscious philosophy is opposed to most of the things that the materialistic people are talking about.
It's opposed to all of the things the materialistic people are talking about. Like almost all.
Yeah, like we speak about, we have our opinions on democracy, we say it's demon crazy. Or moon landing, Darwin's theory, hedonism. So when we are preaching in this society, how do we attract them? On what basis? Because Krishna, immediately they don't want to come.
Krishna what?
If you say Krishna, directly a personal God, they don't want to come. We want them to come for the program.
You have to understand that you're competing with the mixers, the blenders, the choppers.
Okay.
So you have to speak loud and slow.
Okay. We have a problem presenting Krishna as a personal God.
We're not confident?
Right in the beginning, when a person comes first for the program, we want to present Krishna conscious philosophy in such a way that slowly we can direct him and we can tell him about Krishna.
Slowly or quickly, somehow we have to tell him about Krishna.
And now when we are doing that, we see that our philosophy is so opposed to the modern society.
That's good. That's one of its attractive features.
So how do we attract new people to Krishna consciousness?
By being opposed to everything.
But then people won't come, Maharaj. We see that.
No, they will come. People are sick of everything. Intelligent person, you think a person's thinking, the intelligent people are thinking, oh, the BJP is so great, the Congress party is so great, whichever party is ruling our country is so great, democracy is so wonderful, it's made my life sublime, television is so fantastic, cars are so wonderful. It's not that an intelligent person is thinking that everything about the materialistic way of life is just, you know, a winner. An intelligent person starts to see that it's a sham. You know, they promised me happiness, and what are they giving me? A post-dated check. They promised me knowledge, and what are they giving me? Training. You know, I came here for knowledge to find out, you know, what life is about, and they're giving me training how to, you know, manage a call center. You know, I'm looking for love and they're giving me money. I'm looking for meaning and they're giving me meaninglessness. I'm looking for substance and they're giving me bubblegum. An intelligent person, you know, will see that he's being cheated. That he's not getting the real purpose of his life. That he's just working. You know, what's his future? Work, die. That's his future. To, you know, grow up and get married and have some kids and watch them grow up and die. You know, what is that? The animals all do that, so what's so great? Huh? We're making progress, but we're not making progress. The world is not getting better. although it's supposed to be getting better, it's getting demonstrably worse. Or staying the same, but certainly not getting better. So an intelligent person will not say, not want to go along with it all. Huh? Yes, 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 yes. Intelligent person will think, what, something's wrong here. At least he'll suspect that something's wrong here. At least he'll feel uneasy. Even if he's thinking, yes, everything's all right, there'll be something within him that'll be feeling, it's not all right. Huh? So when you come out and tell him it's not all right, finally someone is telling him the right thing. When finally someone comes up and says, you know, all these great patriots and distinguished men and community leaders and pillars of our country are rogues and thieves and rascals, that sounds right. When you come out and say that these great, great scientists are really bluffing, that sounds right too. Or even if it sounds wrong, you start to give your reasons and it starts to sound right. The whole world believes that the greatest thing is to be philanthropic and charitable. When you come along and say that charity is just, you know, mundane, that there's something more important than just fixing up the material body so that the person can go on another day in bewilderment, intelligent person will say, yeah, that sounds right. Otherwise, if you water down your substance to make it digestible for the common people will digest it because it'll be just like everything they're used to eating, and the person who's looking for a real meal will go elsewhere because you don't have it to offer anymore. Just like I see it, I saw the brochure that the restaurant you're offering all sorts of like really first class, super ultra great things, and you're charging pretty well for it. So that will attract a certain class of person. And the people who just want, you know, what are they selling on the street? You know, some paratha or some potato, simple potato thing. Just, you know, some tikki or something. You know, that he can get, for that he can go to the railway station or any corner, you know. So if you go and see, well, gee, on every railway station and every corner, they're selling this potato preparation. What are we doing selling all this expensive stuff, you know, with all these spices and varieties, and then why don't we just sell this potato stuff? Then you become like everybody else. And you lose your customers because the customers who are coming to you are not looking for that. They know that they can go to the railway station or the guy standing on the corner and they can get that. They were looking for something more interesting. So they've come to you. And if you think, no, the people in general, they have no taste, they have no interest, and you just give them, you know, potatoes with chili and salt, you know, then what are you doing? So our business is not to give people what we think will interest them. Our business is to give them what we've been asked by Krishna to give them, what we've been asked by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to give them. And they may like it or they may not like it. Just like the doctor doesn't think, well, people don't like injections, so I'm not going to give them injections anymore. They like, you know, ice cream, so I'm going to give ice cream, and everybody will think I'm a wonderful doctor. Everyone will like me and say, oh, he's not like those other doctors. He's really nice. What's the use? You're not delivering the real thing anymore. So our business is not to satisfy the senses of the bewildered public. Therefore, and Our business is to say the real thing, to give the real message given by Krishna. People may take it or they may not. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came to Varanasi. He said, I've got this, these fruits, and I'm going to sell them at a very cheap price, and if no one buys them, I'll take them back. But everyone bought them. Not that we're going to sell something else. One time, Jadurani was painting a picture of Lord Boar, and someone wrote from Montreal, from our temple, that we're having a World's Fair here in Montreal. Could you send some paintings? So at that time, Prabhupada was right there, so she asked Prabhupada, what painting should I send? Prabhupada said, you could send that one. Swamiji, I don't think they'll understand Lord Boar. That's all right. They may understand or not understand. Send it. Besides that, there's a class of people who like to be against. Young people, revolutionary. It's revolutionary. But they're against. They don't even know what to be against. They're against, you know, this, that, some small thing. We're against the whole material energy. We're the ultimate against movement. We're against the whole material existence. And we're for spiritual existence. We're against Maya and we're for Krishna. No, give it as it is.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, many times or most percentage of people to whom we preach, after hearing we are not this body or simple car driver example, we feel like they should be understood and they should start doing the process. But even though they some intellectually understand, but still they do their own things, you know. Their concerns are the things which they were thinking before. So in that sense, many time in college programs, and we have to give what they need, like as the previous question was related to that. We speak like, you know, time management, goal setting, and all these kind of things, so that they get interested in that. Sometimes we feel kind of bored that we are watering down our message or talking so many indirect things. So how much we can... Have you never seen Prabhupada doing this thing? He just speaks straight Krishna consciousness.
Well, I don't want to get political here, you know. But even Vyasadeva got tired of that approach. He wrote all these Vedic literatures which kind of indirectly... You know, he had love stories and, you know, battles and all sorts of things that people would be interested in. But after writing all this, and he even slipped in Bhagavad Gita in the middle of Mahabharata, but at the end he wasn't satisfied. So he's wondering, why is it that I'm not satisfied? Then his Guru Maharaj came, Narad Muni, said, of course you're not satisfied. You're just agitating people's minds. You know, people's minds are like a boat on the water, just moving this way and that way. And you're just agitating them more. So the real thing is to give them, why don't you directly glorify Krishna? That's the real thing. Therefore, in his maturity, Chakre Satvata Sangita, he wrote this Srimad Bhagavatam. And our business is to give this message of Bhagavatam. We have two main books, Bhagavad Gita as it is, Srimad Bhagavatam, directly glorifying Krishna. You know, we're not really going around selling Mahabharata or so many other things, because there are so many Puranas, so many things, because they're indirectly speaking. Krishna's there, but not so much. But we're directly giving Krishna consciousness. This is our work. So of course we may try some tactic. If it works, haribo, whatever works. But if you find that you're spending years and years and years and people are only managing their time better, it means you're wasting your time.
Well, a nice point, Maharaj. Vyasadeva has already trying to give Krishna consciousness indirectly, and he was not satisfied. But still we see that we have the same mentality. We try to approach or give Krishna indirectly. Is it that we lack conviction about the power of Bhagavatam, power of Bhagavad Gita and the...
It may be that, or it may be that we're trying some tactic. Sometimes it works. Sometimes you present something, just like Prabhupada gave the example, that the mother is saying, now see this spoon? It's an airplane. And the airplane is flying and flying and flying, and it's flying right into your mouth. So if it works, it's good. Otherwise, if the spoon just keeps flying around... Just like Prabhupada, when he first came to America, he tried having some Sanskrit classes. But he saw that it didn't really go very far. You know, not many students were interested in... And if they came, they were interested in Sanskrit. So there wasn't much result. So then he, you know, discarded that approach. So sometimes we may try something, and if it works, if people actually become Krishna conscious, then tari bol. And if it doesn't work, then why continue to do something that's not working?
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, in continuation of the previous question, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the first canto, Srila Prabhupada writes one translation and purport that all scientific and social, national, etc., all endeavors should be for glorifying the Supreme Lord. Mm. Avichito. At the same time, we hear that the Mahabharata at the beginning was written by Vyasadeva. He writes, it's for the glorification of the Lord, Vishnu, Vishnu Gatha. So, if we engage all these so-called mundane things in the Lord's service, it's for His glorification. At the same time, we find that when Vyasadeva tried it, He Himself was dissatisfied, according to the Bhagavatam. So, is there a line that separates the two? Or is it our attachment to present Krishna consciousness directly, or through all these scientific endeavors present Krishna consciousness?
It's a question of being properly guided. We want to present Krishna. Our ultimate goal is to present Krishna. And our preference is just put it out there. And actually we find that that's effective. You just present the message of Krishna as it is. And not everyone will be attracted, but some people will be attracted. Then some people are not attracted. Then we're thinking, well, how to capture them also? So we try this, or we try that, or we try some other means. Just like restaurant. A restaurant is not a preaching center. It's not, you know, going to a restaurant is not the same as going to a Bhagavatam class. But because everyone likes to eat, so we begin there. That you come to our restaurant. And then we try to move them forward from there, that the restaurant is part of a philosophy, the philosophy is part of a way of life, the temple is, you know, 20 steps in this direction. So in that way, we try to move them forward. Somehow let them come in the door, maybe following their tongue, that's all right. But, you know, come into the association of the devotees, into the association of Krishna consciousness, and then move them forward. Prabhupada had the idea at one point of having a daily newspaper, which would be just the news, but then in the editorial column, we would have purely Krishna consciousness. Because Prabhupada saw everybody, you know, they may not like to read Srimad Bhagavatam, but everybody, they'll die without a newspaper. So, all right, give them a newspaper, but then give Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada was also thinking, the acharyas were also thinking, how to capture them, how to capture them, how to capture them. But sometimes also it's our material attachment. That it's not that we have a brilliant idea born out of our inspiration for bringing people to Krishna. Rather, we have some brilliant idea for how to continue the material activities we're attached to. That's like in the West, every young person wants to be a rock musician. You know, they all dream of being rock stars. So then every new bhakta wants to play rock music for Krishna. You know, and those who are little capable of giving an argument, they'll explain to you their vision for spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world through rock music. So that's their material attachment. It's not a brilliant scheme for spreading Krishna consciousness. But an acharya, he may see, now here's someone who's a rock musician, already successful. Now, how to guide him in such a way that he'll bring people to Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada did that. So everything depends upon our purity, our mature understanding. So the acharyas, they know how to adjust everything perfectly. Even sometimes they try something and they see, no, this one good effect is there, but one bad effect. Just like a doctor. You go to the doctor, the Ayurvedic physician, he prescribes something. He sees this is the condition, take this medicine and come back in 3 weeks. You come back in 3 weeks and he sees, takes your pulse again, he asks you some questions. Then he says, now we're going to adjust. Because he sees this worked or this didn't work or this had some side effect. So then you adjust. So the acharyas also may do that. They'll have some scheme for spreading Krishna consciousness. Then they'll see this has some good effect but some bad effect, or there's no good effect at all, useless. So much waste of time and no result. That Prabhupada had the idea of a political party. In America, he had some devotees, because everyone's interested in politics. So Prabhupada started a political party. So, and his idea was that it's just a preaching platform. That the politician gets up there and he says his nonsense and the newspapers report it and people start talking about it. So our men can get up there and they can say our nonsense. That is to say, the real sense. And again, people will hear it. It will be reported in the newspaper. The other candidates will have to respond to it. It can have some controversy. So that was the idea. But then Prabhupada saw that to have a political party, you have to have so much money, and there have to be this, and there have to be that, and you have to get, you know, dirty all over with the political environment. So then Prabhupada said, no, stop it. You see? So sometimes the acharyas will try something. They're always thinking how to benefit the conditioned souls, how to bring them to Krishna consciousness. And by their mature discretion, they see that this will work, this won't work, or this is working, this isn't working. And so they adjust, as the way an expert physician adjusts. Is that all right? Therefore, everything should be done acharyavan. Acharya Upashanam, Acharyavan Purusho Veda, under the direction of the Acharya. Mataji had a question here, I think. Right? Okay.
Yeah, Thank you, Maharaj. It's a very insignificant question, but it is bothering me. You know, Prabhupada has given us the beautiful Krishna consciousness, the process, how we do 16 rounds, initiation, everything. And one of very important factor is a part is Mangal Aarti. But if one cannot attend Mangal Aarti due to certain reason, you are alone, you can't travel at that early hours of the morning, then what will be the effect?
Prabhupada gave us Mangal Aarti, but what if for one reason or another we're not able to attend? Well, you have two choices. You can have your own Mangal Aarti. If you can't come to the temple, then at home you can have your own Mangal Aarti, or you can come in your mind. You can even think about coming to Mangal Aarti, think about how the devotees are worshipping the deity. Sometimes we see there's some videos also of Mangal Aarti. You can get on the internet and attend Mangal Aarti that way, in different parts of the world also. So somehow or other you can make the adjustment. If because of inconvenience it's difficult to come to the temple, then in your own home you can do something, Mangal Aarti, either worshipping your own deities or seeing on the video, or one way or another. Something, that microphone is not working. Yeah, Krishna's absolute. Krishna's always, he's as good in your home, he's as good as he is here. Hare Krishna.
Again, going back to the previous discussion, Maharaj, about giving Krishna consciousness indirectly. As you said, we have to take the guidance from the acharyas. Like Prabhupada would do something, but when he saw that it is not working, he immediately moved back. He started political party, but then it didn't work. Then he stopped. But we, when we do something, like you always give the example of Salvation Army, they were a preaching mission, but now they only distribute cloth. So, and unfortunately, sometimes we are given so much of independence to think independently. But in our independence, we see that many times our sadhana becomes less, our Krishna Katha becomes less by trying to adopt this indirect means. And then becomes very difficult for those devotees to come back to the right path.
Well, that didn't sound like a question, but...
So what solution should we offer, Maharaj, if somebody is doing like that?
Consult your local acharya. My opinions on these things are well known, but... Yeah, but anyone can just have an opinion. Those who are responsible, they have to adjust. Either continue in one way or modify, or some people do something, some people do something else. You know, it's easy to stand on the sidelines and comment. So those who are responsible, it's up to them. You're responsible, it's up to you.
Regarding the quality of our prayer, I was wondering if you could please explain whether it's appropriate for us to pray for those material benedictions which might be useful or helpful to us in our spiritual advancement. And what I mean in particular is whether we can pray to stay brahmachari for life, or to develop those kind of qualities and talents that will be useful for our preaching.
Krishna knows what will be best for our spiritual life. If we pray to Krishna to be fully engaged in his service, that includes everything else. That includes everything else. That includes being brahmachari, or that includes being healthy, that includes being learning skills. Sometimes people focus on, you know, learning a skill for Krishna. They get all so absorbed in the skill that they forget about Krishna. But if you're focused on Krishna, please engage me in your service. He'll help you with the skills, with everything. Sometimes we may pray to Krishna to help me in some particular, it's not just, you know, foggy general, I want to do this for you, I want to do that for you. For service, then that's not bad. But then we should be open that if you want me to do something else also, I'm ready to do that. That I'm doing science for you, but if you want me to do deity worship instead, I'll do that. I'm doing deity worship, but if you want me to do college preaching, I'll do that. We can pray to Krishna that whatever I'm doing, please help me do it nicely. But if you want me to do something else, that also I'm malleable. I'm ready to do whatever you like. Except get married. Bhishma fought with Parshuram. I'll do whatever, you're my guru, Maharaj, I'll do whatever you want, except get married. But Priyavrata, when his guru, he saw that Brahma, his guru Maharaj, Narad, they wanted him to get married, all right, I'll do that also. He was avoiding, that's a good policy. But when he saw that, no, my guru Maharaj wants me to do it, then he did it. So that's the higher principle. All these other things may be helpful for Krishna consciousness. To be expert in something, to be brahmachari, to be learned in the shastra, to be a good mridanga player, to be so many things, regulated. All of these things are helpful for Krishna consciousness. But the ultimate thing is Krishna consciousness. All the other things are just to help us toward that goal. Simply to be brahmachari is not the goal. Simply to be expert is not the goal. Simply to be regulated is not the goal. But to be useful for Krishna's service, that's the goal. So in that line, whatever will help me, anukul yasya sankalpa, if it'll help me in serving Krishna and my spiritual master, then I accept it. And if it's standing in the way, if it's botheration, if it's distraction, then we reject it. But the goal is whatever's best for Krishna's pleasure. Then the other things will automatically come in the right line. Is that okay? Should we stop here? It's getting kind of late. Yeah. All right. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.